This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store, or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week. Now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, horror for the casually obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
And we return. And we're here now at Nightmare Alley, the spooky little side street podcast in the regular Nightmare on Film Street feed. Should I do that again?
No, it was great. I loved it.
We're here. We're joined today with writer, director, producer, Curtis.
And editor,
Curtis David Harder. We're talking about his newest thriller, Influencer.
Yes, we're super stoked to talk about this one. And exciting enough for you, you're not going to have to wait long to see it because it's out this weekend. But Influencer is a really chill, full of vibes movie about an influencer who goes on location in Thailand. And not everything is not what it seems to be, which is, you know, usually the case when it comes to social media and thrillers. But this film takes a really unique twist on it.
This film takes a few unique twists. That's what's really cool about it and what makes it a little harder to talk about, because it plays on your expectations of what you're expecting it to do. It pulls the rug out from underneath you, essentially, is kind of the idea. It takes a few really cool, interesting left turns that even if you watch the trailer, which we're going to cut to in a minute, you might still be very surprised about where the movie goes.
Yeah, that's one thing we talked about a lot, because we were just so proud of this trailer for revealing absolutely nothing. So if you've seen the trailer and you think you know what this movie is going to be, you're going to be surprised, which is really great because that is a rarity.
Oh yeah, I'd say we spent almost as much time before hitting record on this interview as we did talking with Kurt about what we could and what we should and shouldn't say on the podcast, because we don't want to spoil it for anybody.
I think even saying, though, that this film has a lot of twists and stuff, you want to make sure you set people's expectations up right, because it is a thriller and it does have a very chill, cool vibe.
Yeah.
It's a very subtle thriller, but I will say that so much happens and it's very good at keeping ahead of you that it's really well made.
Yeah, excited to hear what you guys think about this movie. It's hitting Shudder this weekend. We don't get into any like super duper spoilers here, so feel free to listen to this now before you watch the movie, or afterward as sort of like a, you know, behind the scenes look at how it was made. But regardless, we're going to cut to the trailer for Influencer, and we'll be back to talk with writer, director, producer, editor, Curtis David Harder.
Traveling is all about experiencing new things.
You're in one of the most beautiful places in the world. What could possibly be wrong with that?
My boyfriend and I planned this trip together. And at the last minute, he bailed.
You can come crash with me. I'll show you.
I couldn't put you
hey.
Up.
It's gonna be fine.
Change of plans. I made a new friend. Looks like I'll be staying here for a while longer. We're going to explore the country.
I just realized I haven't been in front of a fire in like you probably brought me all this way to kill me in the middle of the ocean. No one can hear you scream.
Everything is so much better now that I've decided to stay. have some ideas for what we should do tomorrow.
I actually have a surprise for tomorrow.
Everything is so much better now that I've decided to stay.
Since when are you suddenly shy? I just don't like being on camera.
So someone else was pretending to be you the whole time?
Hello?
Everything is so much better now that I've decided to stay.
No, I'm not gonna kill you.
Well, that is disappointing.
Well, Kurt, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, man. We're really excited to talk to you about Influencer.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be a part.
I know, like, we've talked a bit online, and we hung out at Nightmare's Film Festival a little bit, but, like, we didn't actually talk about movies a whole lot. What are some of your just favorite movies in general?
Yeah, I mean, one that I always come back to is, like, a really strange kind of sci-fi movie called Mr. Nobody. I think the first time I watched it, like, every day for a week, and I've just continued to return to it. Kind of one of those movies that it's like, if you could make any movie, that would probably be it. But yeah, I mean, like, a lot of the classics, like, I think, like, The Shining or any of those kind of older horror movies that have that nostalgia factor are always really fun.
Can't go wrong. Is Mr. Nobody the one with Jared Leto?
That is, yeah.
Where he plays, like, 30 different people?
A bunch of different characters that are all, yeah, kind of intersecting lives and stuff.
Yeah, I've only seen that movie once, but it definitely had... I felt like I should have watched it at least three times to really get all of it.
A lot going on. I have fun with movies that are a bit of like a puzzle box that you can kind of find new things each time you revisit it, or like at different times in your life, coming back to certain movies that are interesting at like certain points. Yeah.
Yeah. There's Fight Club's a movie for me. Not that it's related at all to Mr. Nobody, but a movie that I have had such a roller coaster with where I was obsessed with it. When
I think
I was
you just
17.
Made yourself sick of it.
Well, and yeah, I did. And I was like, oh, that movie is also maybe like a bit, forecasting incel culture a little bit, and then I rewatched it last year. And I'm like, oh no, this is like a true crime story. Like, this is a perfect distillation of what a cult looks and acts like.
Yeah, totally.
So it's weird sometimes that you can revisit movies and have a completely different impression of them.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, it's the context of what you're going through in life, and it's completely changed. Like a movie that you hate one year and then revisit it like 10 years later. I'm trying to think of some examples, but there's definitely been moments where I hated a movie and then watched it at an older age. I was like, oh no, there's so much going on here that I just didn't pick up on.
Oh yeah.
And then you end up judging yourself more than the film.
Like, oh man,
I was just an idiot. Yeah. I do that like every 2 years with Eyes Wide Shut, and still I'm just like, I don't really like it.
You're like, I think I will like it this time, and you're like,
It's a tough nut to crack. But yeah, Influencer, you know, definitely more of a thriller than a horror movie. Were there any puzzle box thrillers that you were using as a bit of an influence putting together the twists and turns of your own story?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like any of the Hitchcock is obviously a huge influence on the movie. Talented Mr. Ripley is really fun, kind of the chameleon character aspect of the film without getting too into it. There's another movie that because I showed a bunch of movies to the cast and crew before we shot it. And one of the ones was this documentary called The Imposter. I don't know if you've seen that.
We've seen that. That movie's fucking crazy.
So weird.
It's crazy. And if you haven't seen it, anyone listening, don't watch the trailer. Just go in as blind as you can, because it's such a fun ride of just... such an interesting person. So I think there's a bunch of different ones. We were kind of just looking at characters that can kind of change, and that it applies to quite a bit in the film. So
I know. And Imposter is a great example too, because yours kind of feels like a true crime story that hasn't happened. Well, it's probably happened before, but I mean, like a true crime story that's predictive of maybe future crime that will become way more popular.
Exactly. Well, and that was the thing, is like when we started writing this in like 2019, and like the technology back then was so primitive that gets used in the movie. And now it's like, it's just like, it's weird how quickly some of the technology that we see, we kind of imagined in the film, and we did everything for real, but it was very kind of ghetto and like there's things that we were trying to do that for real that just took a lot more effort. Now it's like you could literally probably do this within a couple of years of the stuff that happens in the film.
It seems really like serendipitously timely though, because like we're right on just like the height of kind of the fear and the acceptance of AI. Like we're just like, we're right at the merging point where we're all like, oh, we could all use AI too. Like it's not just for like the government.
It's scary. Like it's just like the whole idea of, I mean, the movie is so much about like, you can't really believe what you see online, and that's becoming more and more truthful as every week goes by. It feels like it's getting scarier.
Yeah. Were you more scared of having your identity stolen before making the movie or now?
I think now probably, or it just keeps getting worse. It's like, it feels more tangible. Like you used to need to have someone who's like really vindictive, but I feel like people are just going to start doing it more and more. We'll see. I don't know. Cause I mean, even seeing like some of the stuff with like people using AI voices to call family members. Like, I don't know. There was an article I read about, they called some mom and they had the daughter's voice, using the daughter's voice to say that I'm getting kidnapped or something.
I've heard about that. Yeah. And they like extort money out of them. They're like, you have to give us $5,000 because we have your daughter, and they have her voice.
They have her voice. You're just like, geez. And this is just the start of it. So it's going to be, I can't imagine what happens when they start doing like proper videos, and you won't be able to trust anything.
I know. And yours is such an interesting angle too, because the character isn't really, like, stealing identity is the way that you would normally expect somebody to steal an identity. It's almost like they're stealing an online persona more than anything, which is, I'm not sure if it's more sinister or not. It's really, it does have like a really weird existential quality to it. It's like you're stealing something that's not necessarily tangible, but is still 100%.
It's become such a big part of our lives. Like the online and the offline versions of us are kind of becoming almost equally important, which is very strange.
Oh, that's so scary.
It's like the two sides of everybody.
So, and where was the nugget for the story originally? Was it like those articles where people were using AI for kidnapping?
No, I mean, that kind of evolved over time. The real thread that got the whole idea started was just kind of like the feeling safe in familiarity. And so like the joke of like going halfway across the world and eating like a McDonald's burger, or like you see someone who looks like you and you immediately trust them. It's like we wanted to kind of subvert those things. And then that kind of evolved into the social media side and kind of some of the other stuff that happens in the film. So, but that was like the big thread. I had a trip planned over to Southeast Asia, and Tesha, who co-wrote the film, and I were just kind of chatting about this idea. And it kind of just spawned from there.
It's really cool. And yeah, so I mean, you did shoot on location in Thailand, right? Because the movie looks incredible.
Yeah, I mean, the country is insane. Like we lucked out. It was kind of like serendipitous that it was the pandemic in a weird way, kind of a blessing in disguise. Mm-hmm. Because we were originally going to shoot it in 2020, and kind of the peak of like when tourism was massive, and then it died, and we got pushed back like a year and a half. And just the fact that the movie is so much about kind of loneliness and isolation within attention. So it's like, I think for us, the fact that the country was just so empty and desolate kind of added this weird thing that you'd never would have gotten otherwise. Like, I mean, we just had kind of a freer access to the country. There's people really supportive of the film over there. Whereas if it was in the height of tourism, it probably would have been, we would have been kind of pushed around a bit more, trying to get what we needed. Whereas this, it was just kind of like a weird serendipitous positive and negative thing.
Yeah, you got access to so many awesome locations. Like the scope of the film, just through the locations alone, are insane. Like that suite with the pool, like hello, I would stay there.
Yeah, that resort was wild. It was we Tesh and I kind of, it was a funny story. We got invited to this like orchestra event thing. We were just there because we were trying to find the resort of the film on the scout when we first got there, and somehow we got this invite to this event, and we were in t-shirts and stuff. We showed up to this event, and it's just like all these bureaucrats in like full suits, cocktail dresses, and just us fools standing around. And we met this like amazing guy who was just like, he was like a resort tycoon. He owned like, I don't know, he was like a billionaire type guy. And he's like, oh, you need resorts? I got resorts. Yeah. We ended up getting like a tour of like half the resorts in Phuket. And they were just like completely supportive of the film. It was really cool.
Wow, that's amazing. That's like so lucky. Yeah. Like we were thinking about that the whole time watching it. It's just like, how did this little independent movie get like such incredible cinematography? And like it looked like the locations, like it looks amazing.
You should have been like, this shoot's gonna take 6 months. We're gonna need four suites, all inclusive.
Yeah. It's gonna take forever. Yeah, because we were there almost 3 months. Like the actual production was like almost 2 months. It was a long haul. Like there was like just a small group of us kind of traveling around the country. We had a big bus and we had a couple of cars, and that was basically it. Like our infrastructure was tiny, but we just shot longer. So it's kind of like that trade off of being able to be so movable, like, because it was like 11 of us. So it's like just moving around. We just used that to shoot longer just because the scope of it was just kind of absurd on paper.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like the independent film curse, right? Like you can kind of do whatever you want within reason, but you end up having to do everything yourself. Yeah. I know you edited the movie. Did you also edit the trailer? Like, just sidebar question. Did you also edit the trailer? You did. Okay.
I did, yeah.
That never happens.
It kind of just happened that way. We were talking about who were going to get the trailer done, and I was just nervous because of the way the movie is. It was like I wanted control on how much we can show, and it's because it's such a tricky film to market without giving away too much. But I think it's been funny seeing the reaction saying this gives away the whole movie, and it doesn't at all. So it's been kind of an interesting experience trying to give away enough but not too much.
I think you did an incredible
job. Yeah, you could win an award for how little you gave away in a trailer. Because nowadays, I mean, I guess trailers have always kind of been like that. Like, your biggest, flashiest scene and your biggest reveal are normally end up in the trailer. And this trailer gives away nothing.
I'm excited. It took a long time to get the trailer right.
I believe it.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, because you've got such great twists and turns in the story, and I'm curious what that was like in like the writing process. Like, how did you approach? Because like there are predictions that I make watching the movie halfway through. I'm like, oh, I know where this is going, and then it really doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, like I would call it more like switchbacks. Like, you think you're gonna twist this way, and then you kind of come back to where you were, and you see things again for the first time, sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big thing for Tesh and I, because I think we were just talking, we always talk about how like modern audiences are so smart. Like, they pick up on stuff, they know the tropes, they know the typical ways that if you're setting something up, you're going to pay it off, Chekhov's gun type of thing. And so all of our conversations were like, okay, what are the audience going to expect, and how can we kind of keep the audience, like, as soon as they think they got a grasp on it, we try to pull the rug. And so it was a lot of give and take. I think the pandemic, the fact that we got pushed back a year, really helped the script a lot, because it just kind of gave us so much more time to kind of meditate and show it to different people and see how they were reacting to it, what was working, what wasn't. And so without that, I think the movie wouldn't have been quite as strong as it is. So I think that was a big kind of blessing. Again, another blessing in disguise, where it's like, mm-hmm. oh, we can't go make the movie, but because of how much more time we had with the script, it only helped. But yeah, I mean, a big thing was like looking at movies that handle it really well and seeing why they work, and then knowing that people have seen those movies. So how do you surprise them knowing that they've seen those movies? And then, yeah, it's kind of like a big kind of building up layer thing.
Yeah, that could become daunting after a while, I'm sure.
Yeah. But the first draft of the script, it evolved a lot in terms of who we followed when and kind of how we did those kind of little switch ups.
I know. You trade off to different characters really smoothly. It's just it totally makes sense that we're going to follow this person now, and it doesn't feel like a weird, detour in the movie. It's funny because I do remember early pandemic thinking oh man, this is going to be great. Like there are going to be so many movies that were supposed to get put into production that are now going to have time to really fine tune everything. And I'd say the opposite has been maybe true for a lot of movies that I've watched, but
bigger projects.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe bigger major studio movies, but yeah, I have definitely seen some indie movies like yours that have really paid off from that. So that's
it definitely helps. Yeah. More time. Typically, I know that studios can overwrite, and where if you have a bunch of writers working on something, you can kind of lose that initial essence. But this one definitely was no, it's only getting better, I think.
That's great.
From our perspective, yeah.
Well, especially with kind of an independent production as well. I'm sure you were originally thinking we're going to do a limited cast. This is only going to have a few core characters. So you're not writing around the pandemic. Mm-hmm. You're not trying to eliminate things from your story. You're trying to just make your story better.
Yeah, and I think the freedom of the fact that we had such a long shoot and we had kind of flexibility with what we did. We there's a couple scenes we ended up reshooting, and kind of once we shot it, realizing that it's there's some more things that we could have done with this. Why don't we reshoot it in another location that works a little better? And just the flexibility of on the day having a lot more time with each scene. We did lots of takes sometimes. It was kind of I think most of our films we'd shoot 30 hours of footage for a 90-minute movie, and this was over 100 hours of footage. Oh, wow. By the end of it was the biggest, the most we've ever shot for a film that I've been involved with. So that was a huge plus, just being able to really explore and work on the CW character and have time to really be let's get down to the little nitty-gritty. So that was really cool.
Yeah, definitely benefited for it, but I could imagine I would be fucking, especially if you're editing it yourself, crazy stressed out about the fact that it's if we need any pickup shots, we can't just all
this is Thailand.
Get up and go to
Thailand. Oh yeah, you can't go back. It's impossible. It's we got to get it. So we were extra cautious about that for sure. And then having like Rob Grant, who directed Harpoon, co-edited the film, and he brought so much to it of having kind of another director perspective that is someone I look up to. So it was really cool to have him involved in the film. And then Brandon Christensen as a producer, who you guys know, was involved throughout post. And so it was cool having some filmmakers that I really like collaborating with.
Yeah. You guys work together all the time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Brandon and I just wrapped a movie that he just directed on Friday, actually. It's going to be really cool. Really, really excited. It's very different from his previous work.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to having him on the show to talk about it. So yeah, we know that you produced Superhost, which also deals with sort of the dark side of social media personalities. Do you see Influencer as an unofficial sister film? Because they both star Sarah Canning,
Yeah, Sarah Canning's in both. I think they're similar films. I think that one's definitely more about kind of like the Airbnb side of it, have the social media side of kind of the YouTuber. But I think, yeah, they're adjacent for sure in terms of kind of what we put online and how people trust it. And I think there's some really fun, Superhost is very fun in how it handles the truth of online and how you can cry wolf and then that can kind of turn on you. But I think, yeah, they're adjacent, but quite different films, I think.
I was just thinking, you direct, produce, write, edit. I'm sure there's 18 other things you do that we don't necessarily know about. Do you have a specific one that you like more than others?
I mean, I got into film to tell stories. So I think for me, producing was a bit of a surprise. Like, because I was directing my first couple movies, I had to produce anyways. And so when I got approached to help out with Brandon's first feature, Stillborn, and just as a producer, it was such a new experience of just being like, oh, I don't have to do half the work I'm used to. It's just the producing side of things. So I think I kind of fell in love with the idea of just helping another filmmaker who make a film that I necessarily wouldn't have made, but seeing how like something that I would want to watch. So it's like a different, it's cool to see, you learn so much from seeing other people that you really appreciate and like see how they kind of craft a story, and it helps, it only helps your craft. And then it's cool to be able to kind of work with a team of different directors that you're just kind of supporting and being able to make more films than you would be able to as a director. Because when you're talking about writing, directing, and editing, it's such a long process. It's like, it can be a couple of years. Influencer was started, we started writing that in 2019, and it only just got finished last year. So to be able to produce and kind of jump into other projects while you're doing this other stuff it's really cool to be able to kind of do so much more. Oh, sorry, to answer, I'd say directing is kind of the passion, but it's cool to have producing as kind of like the additional thing that I can kind of learn and help other filmmakers kind of achieve what they're hoping to do. But I got, as a kid, I think in kindergarten wrote that I wanted to be a film director.
So really? In kindergarten?
So it's been something that I don't have a tangible memory of choosing to get into film. It was just something that I grew up with.
That's interesting. Yeah. Do you remember knowing, or like when you learned that somebody directs movies? Like that's always the thing that's, I think, surprises most kids. Like, oh, people make this.
Yeah. No, I don't remember. I became obsessed with movies, I think, when I was like a toddler watching Jurassic Park, I know stood out to me. And then just seeing, I think on TV, they would often have like these little like 3-minute making of videos of like the movie. It's like, I think, what is it? Like Sunday Night Movies or something. And they would have like a little special. On
Movie Magic of 4 minutes.
Movie Magic. And you see like a little bit of like the camera crane. I was like, oh, that's amazing.
So you grew up in Canada, right?
Yeah, I grew up, we were a bit gypsy-like. We were moving around quite a bit, kind of moved. We moved around a lot as a kid. And I think that really definitely helped develop my nature of wanting to be kind of on the road all the time and making stuff in different places. But yeah, I grew up in Canada, mostly Calgary, Alberta, where we still shoot a lot of the movies. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fun to, like, I'm in Vancouver now, but we just shot Brandon's movie in Calgary. And so I'm constantly back, family's there and stuff. So
right on.
Much a Canadian at heart.
I was gonna ask you what your childhood obsessions were on YTV, but I mean, more importantly, I want to know what like when you're approaching a new project, because you like going to different locations and stuff, like do you think about where you want to shoot before you necessarily think about a story? Like where do you usually come in on writing a new project?
I think they're very much in tandem. Influencer was always Thailand. Mm-hmm. I think like even in when we were paused and we had that year delay, Tesh and I started talking about like, oh, do we go to Latin America? Because these countries were like opening up. Like where could we potentially actually bring people and actually get into the country? Because Thailand was so locked down. Mm-hmm. We were like, we don't know if they'll ever open up. But something was like, the movie had to take place there. It was just that there's just something about kind of the allure and the mysterious nature of the landscape there. And it's just a bit different than some of these other tourist countries. So I think for us, it was like that one was especially like very much tied to, it has to be here. Otherwise, let's not do it, basically. But other movies, it really kind of depends. I think I've definitely kind of fallen in love with the destination type movie. I think it's a lot of fun kind of going somewhere and capturing something that you're not, as a filmmaker, not even like as a person, you haven't really spent much time there. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have a new view on it. So it's always kind of fun.
I mean, we're the same as far as at least watching them. Just like, I've never been in Thailand. I'll watch this movie right now. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is like, there's very few indie movies made over there. Yeah. Like, and especially like Western type films. It's kind of like it was like, oh, people don't do this. I wonder why. And then you kind of learn some of the reasons, but I would do it again for sure.
That's awesome. You do get kind of an untapped setting, so that's awesome.
Yeah. It's something new. It's not, yeah, you see some like bigger movies that shoot there, but it's not often you see kind of independent spirit movies shot kind of in foreign places.
So are you working on some stuff right now that you're going to take overseas?
The next one I'll probably shoot in Canada. We're just figuring
that
out.
Well, that's overseas for some people.
It's overseas for some people. Yeah. Yeah. So we're just kind of in the early stages of the next one. And then Brandon has another project that we're developing. Right. We're hoping to shoot in Canada. But yeah, a couple ideas that we're hoping to shoot kind of elsewhere. So we'll see.
Cool.
That's great.
Are you going to stay in like the horror thriller space?
Yeah. I mean, I love the genre. Horror is so fun. I do appreciate directors like Soderbergh or Danny Boyle who do kind of multiple different things. Mm-hmm. So I am excited to kind of explore kind of a bunch of different stuff, but horror has been, the community is so cool and it's so fun. Growing up, I didn't watch a lot of horror movies. And when we started prep on Stillborn, actually, Chris Ball, the other producer, and I were like, man, we have not watched a lot of horror movies. And so like for like the 2 months of prep, every night we were watching like 2-3 movies, just getting like, and through that really fell in love with the genre. But we were both kind of late bloomers.
That's cool. I mean, like being obsessed with other genres and working in other genres is only going to help, you know, strengthen you as a storyteller anyway. So I always find it's weird when people are upset to see a horror director go and
do something
else or vice versa.
I remember when Ari Aster made the mistake after Hereditary came out, how he's like, I'm not only going to do horror movies. And everybody was like, oh, traitor.
It's like, what's the big deal? Like, who cares?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like I want to see all sorts of stuff.
Yeah,
it's like, what's your take on a romantic comedy, Ari Aster?
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, if Bo is afraid,
twisted,
is,
yeah.
Okay, well, Kurt, it's been great talking with you, man. We like to ask everybody who comes on the show what their dream drive-in double feature would be. If you could play any two movies at a drive-in, what would you play?
Yeah. I think, I mean, drive-ins have such a nostalgia for me.
Yeah,
because I think like going back to. There's still one in Vancouver here that we go
to. I was going
to
ask.
Yeah, they're hard to find now. And I think like as a kid going to them was such a special thing.
So were there a lot in Calgary?
I think there was one in Calgary for a while. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I think so. Because I went to a bunch in Ontario for a bit.
There are quite a few in Ontario still.
Yeah,
there's none in Manitoba.
We're learning there are very few in Manitoba.
I think we're 4 hours away from one. We're going to go this summer, but fire far.
Yeah. Yeah, we were actually, my partner and I were just talking about going. There's one not too far from Vancouver. So I think we were like looking at what's playing, seeing if there's any movies. But no, I think like something that has a nostalgic feel with that. So like something like The Shining and like Cinema Paradiso would be like a fun mix. Ooh. Of like just movies that have very much like a cinematic resonance, I guess. If that makes
sense. You have to clean your windshield for those.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I haven't seen Cinema Paradiso. What's that one about?
Oh, it's about like a young kid who grows up in a cinema. So it's like he's like working with the projectionist, and like it's just such a movie loving film that just kind of it's definitely worth checking out. It's such a great film.
That sounds like a wild pairing with The Shining.
yeah, such a shift. I think like getting a bit of best of both worlds. I don't know which would go first. I think probably The Shining second.
hard to terrify the shit out of everybody and then be like, okay, now here's a
now we're gonna have this
loving
nice
film. I mean, yeah. I do love a radical shift into the second movie. So that's
I mean, it feels fun. In character. What I go for? I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, that's true. It definitely, like, if Influencer was the third movie, you'd be like, okay, I see where this guy's going. He shifts gears hard all the time.
That and Spiral are just like very different. And the movie we did before Spiral was like a coming of age gay road trip comedy. So it's like, I don't know, a bunch of different stuff.
So where can people see Influencer?
Yeah. So it comes out on the 26th on Shudder in both Canada and the States and a bunch of other countries.
Yeah. Super easy to see. There's no excuse not to watch it this weekend, guys. Yeah,
stream it.
If you don't have Shudder, I think they still do trial runs. So there's no reason not to check it out.
Yeah. And you can get it through like Prime and stuff now.
Awesome. Well, Kurt, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, man. It was great chatting with you.
Thank you so much. It was a blast.
Thank you, Kurt, so much for joining us here on Nightmare on Film Street. We're so excited for people to check out Influencer. And if you want to watch it, if you're listening to this right when the episode drops, it comes out this weekend on Shudder and AMC+. And if you are joining us a little bit later, it's already streaming. So go watch it, Shudder, AMC+, and then tweet at us at NOFS Podcast and let us know what you thought.
Yeah, or you can hit us up in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at nofspodcast.com/discord. While you're at it, please give the show a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening to this. It's the easiest, quickest way to support the show. And if you want more Nightmare, you want more podcast episodes, because that's what you need in life. You need more content. head over to nofspodcast.com/fiendclub. We've got an insane back catalog of podcast episodes, and we'll be hosting a watch party this weekend if you're listening to this on May 25th.
And another way to support the show, check out our merch. We have lots of cool horror merch. There's Nightmare on Film Street merch and just general, you know, cool horror stuff.
It's t-shirt season, guys. Let everybody know you're spooky.
And head to store.nofspodcast.com to check that out.
We'll be back next week. We're talking about Bob Balaban's parents. We're finally closing out our Suburban Nightmares double feature. We talked about Serial Mom back for Mother's Day. We're back at it again with a duo of crazy parents. That movie's streaming on Tubi right now. If you want to check it out, you got tons of time. But until
then, definitely a movie you need to experience to understand.
We get into some specifics. But until next week, I'm John.
I'm Kim.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in-store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week. Now at Menards.
Save big.